As she rounded the last curve in the road before coming into town, she had a sudden flash of having done so before. As a child, as a teenager, as a girl on the brink of womanhood. It gave her a sense of security and belonging. Nothing in the city had ever given her the simple pleasure of being part of the whole. Laughing, she took the final yards at a run, then burst through the door of the general store. The bells jingled fiercely before it slammed shut. "Hi." "Hi yourself," the woman behind the counter grinned at her. "You're out early this morning." "When I woke up, I discovered I was out of coffee." Spotting the box of fresh donuts on the counter, Shane rolled her eyes and headed for them. "Oh, Donna, cream-filled?"
"Yeah."
Donna watched with an envious sigh as Shane chose one and bit into it. For the better part of 20 years, she'd seen Shane eat like a linebacker without gaining an ounce of fat. Though they had grown up together, they were as different as night and day. Where Shane was fair, Donna was dark. Shane was small. Donna was tall and well-rounded. For most of their lives, Donna had been content to play follower to Shane's leader. Shane was the adventurer. Donna had liked nothing better than to point out all the flaws in whatever plans she was hatching, then wholeheartedly fall in with it. "So, how are you settling in?"
"Pretty well," Shane answered with her mouth full.
"You've hardly been in since you got back in town."
"There's been so much to do. Gran couldn't keep the place up the last few years."
Both affection and grief came through in her voice. She was always more interested in her gardening than a leaky roof.
"Maybe if I had stayed."
"Oh, now, don't start blaming yourself again," Donna cut her off, drawing her straight dark brows together. "You know she wanted you to take that teaching job. Fay Abbott lived to be 94. That's more than a lot of people can hope for. And she was a feisty old devil right to the end." Shane laughed.
"You're absolutely right. Sometimes I'm sure she's sitting in her kitchen rocker, making certain I wash up my dishes at night."
The thought made her want to sigh for the childhood that was gone, but she pushed the mood away.
"I saw Amos Messner out in the field with his son, haying."
After finishing off the donut, Shane dusted her hands on the seat of her pants.
"I thought Bob was in the army."
"Got discharged last week. He's going to marry a girl he met in North Carolina."
"No kidding."
Donna smiled smugly. It always pleased her, as proprietor of the general store, to be the ears and eyes of the town. "She's coming to visit next month. She's a legal secretary."
"How old is she?"
Shane demanded, testing.
22.
Throwing back her head, Shane laughed in delight.
"Oh, Donna, you're terrific. I feel as though I've never been away."
The familiar, unrestricted laugh made Donna grin. "I'm glad you're back. We missed you." Shane settled a hip against the counter.
"Where's Benji?"
"Dave's got him upstairs." Donna preened a bit, thinking of her husband and son. "Letting that little devil loose down here is only asking for trouble. We'll switch off after lunch."
"That's the beauty of living on top of your business."
Finding the opening she had hoped for, Donna pounced on it. "Shane, are you still thinking about converting the house?"
"Not thinking,"
Shane corrected.
"I'm going to do it."
She hurried on, knowing what was about to follow.
"There's always room for another small antique shop, and with the museum attached, it'll be distinctive."
"But it's such a risk," Donna pointed out. The excited gleam in Shane's eyes had her worrying all the more. She'd seen the same gleam before the beginning of any number of outrageous and wonderful plots. The expense...
"I have enough to set things up,"
Shane shrugged off the pessimism.
"And most of my stock can come straight out of the house for now." "I want to do it, Donna,"
she went on as her friend frowned at her.
"My own place, my own business."
She glanced around the compact, well-stocked store.
"You should know what I mean."
"Yes, but I have Dave to help out, to lean on. I don't think I could face starting or managing a business all on my own."
"It's going to work."
Her eyes drifted beyond Donna, fixed on their own vision.
"I can already see how it's going to look when I'm finished."
"All the remodeling?"
"The basic structure of the house will stay the same,"
Shane countered. Modifications, repairs. She brushed them away with the back of her hand. A great deal of it would have to be done if I were simply going to live there. Licenses, permits, I've applied for everything. Taxes, I've already seen an accountant. She grinned as Donna sighed. I have a good location, a solid knowledge of antiques, and I can recreate every battle of the Civil War. And do, at the least provocation. Be careful, Shane warned her, or I'll give you another rundown on the Battle of Antietam. When the bells on the door jingled again, Donna heaved an exaggerated sigh of relief. Hi, Stu. The next 10 minutes were spent in light gossiping as Donna rang up and bagged dry goods. It would take little time to catch up on the news Shane had missed over the last 4 years. Shane was accepted as an oddity, the hometown girl who had gone to the city and come back with big ideas. She knew that to the older residents of the town and countryside, she would always be Fay Abbott's granddaughter. They were a proprietary people, and she was one of their own. She hadn't settled down and married Cy Trainer's boy, as predicted, but she was back now. Stu never changes, Donna said when she was alone with Shane again. Remember in high school when we were sophomores and he was a senior, captain of the football team and the best-looking hunk in a sweaty jersey? And nothing much upstairs, Shane added dryly. You always did go for the intellectual type. Hey, she continued before Shane could retort, I might just have one for you. Have one what? An intellectual? At least that's how he strikes me. He's your neighbor, too, she added with a growing smile. My neighbor? He bought the old Farley place. Moved in early last week. The Farley place? Shane's brows arched, giving Donna the satisfaction of knowing she was announcing fresh news. The house was all but gutted by the fire. Who'd be fool enough to buy that ramshackle barn of a place? Vance Banning, Donna told her. He's from Washington, D.C. After considering the implications of this, Shane shrugged. Well, I suppose it's a choice piece of land, even if the house should be condemned. Wandering to a shelf, she selected a pound can of coffee, then set it on the counter without checking the price. I guess he bought it for a tax shelter or something. I don't think so. Donna rang up the coffee and waited while Shane dug bills out of her back pocket. He's fixing it up. The courageous type. Absently, she pocketed the loose change. All by himself, too, Donna added, fussing with the display of candy bars on the counter. I don't think he has a lot of money to spare. No job.
Oh.
Shane's sympathies were immediately aroused. The spreading problem of unemployment could hit anyone, she knew. Just the year before, the teaching staff at her school had been cut by 3%. I heard he's pretty handy, though, Donna went on. Archie Moeller went by there a few days ago to take him some lumber. He said he's already replaced the old porch. But the guy's got practically no furniture. Boxes of books, but not much else. Shane was already wondering what she could spare from her own collection. She had a few extra chairs. And, Donna added warmly, he's wonderful to look at. You're a married woman, Shane reminded her, clucking her tongue. I still like to look.
He's tall,
Donna sighed. At 5'8", she appreciated tall men. And dark, with a sort of lived-in face. You know, creases, lots of bone. And shoulders. You always did go for shoulders. Donna only grinned. He's a little lean for my taste, but the face makes up for it. He keeps to himself, hardly says a word.
It's hard being a stranger,
she spoke from her own experience.
And being out of work, too. What do you think?
Her question was cut off by the jingle of bells. Glancing over, Shane forgot what she had been about to ask. He was tall, as Donna had said. In the few seconds they stared at each other, Shane absorbed every aspect of his physical appearance. Lean, yes, but his shoulders were broad, and the arms exposed by the rolled-up shirt sleeves were corded with muscle. His face was tanned, and it narrowed down to a trim, clipped